Song of Solomon, chapter 1. There's a few things we ought to keep in mind as we read the scriptures and as we talk to people and so on. One of the main things is that every verse of scripture is to be analyzed and looked at as we compare it to every other verse of scripture. To build our whole theology on one verse of scripture is to err. Those who take Acts 10:38 as their watchword err greatly. Because the baptism of the Spirit doesn't happen in the water. It happens when the Holy Ghost visits a person and writes on them the doctrine of Christ, writes on their heart the doctrine of Christ.
Amen.
So as we search the scriptures, we need to search all the scriptures.
Right.
And compare the scripture against itself, compare spiritual things against spiritual. But here in Song of Solomon, chapter 1, and I want to begin in verse 5. Now this is, an unfolding of the love story that exists between the Lord Jesus Christ and His church. An exchange between those two, between themselves, of their love, the one for the other, and the value that one sees in the other. And the exchange goes both ways. Song of Solomon begins with the spouse of the Lord Jesus Christ, the bride and the Lamb's wife speaking. And she says, let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. Let him tell me again of his love and his favor to me, and that I am in him, and that he is my life, and he is all to me. Let him tell me of the doctrine of Christ, for that is my life. For thy love is better than wine, because the savor of thy good ointments, all that he is in himself, all of his character attributes that he has, and the engaging of all of his character attributes on our behalf to bring us to glory. Because of the savor of thy ointments, thy name is as ointment poured forth. Therefore do the virgins love thee. Now the virgins here are believers. As in Revelation 14:4, they follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. My sheep hear my voice and they know me, and they follow. My sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. I give unto them eternal life and they shall never perish. Draw me, he says in she says in verse 4, and she realizes that in herself she cannot come, and she will not come. It's like the song that says, Lord, 'tis not that I did choose thee, for that could never be. My heart would still refuse thee, had thou not chosen me. We love him because he first loved us. Draw me, and we will run after thee. The king hath brought me into his chambers. He brings us into his chambers. We don't come on our own. We are brought. In John 6:44, it says, no man can come unto the Father except the Father draw him. And I will raise him up the last day. Now the word draw there means to drag. unless the Father reaches out and fetches him and brings him to Christ, nobody will come. A lady asked me one time, well, what about whosoever will? And I my answer was too short to her because I assumed that she would know what I was talking about. I said, well, nobody will. And so she went away and she just thought I was being smart, but I just told her the truth as I knew it. Nobody will come except God brings them. Like he did to Ephraim, I took him by the arm and taught him to go. And as he did in Sodom and Gomorrah, whenever he brought out Lot and his family, he took them by their arms and brought them out. The angel took them by the arms and brought them out. We will be glad and rejoice in thee. Believers, those in whom God has planted his most holy faith, rejoice in the Lord Jesus Christ, not in themselves. They do not look to themselves for any good thing to justify them in the eyes of God. They look only to the Lord Jesus Christ. We will rejoice and be glad in thee. We will remember thy love more than wine. The upright love thee, those who are made the righteousness of God in the Lord Jesus Christ. In verse 5 now, he said, this is still the bride speaking, and she says, I am black. She owns what she is in herself. You know anything about that? I think every child of God knows something about that. I am black. We know what we are. We're sinners by nature, by birth, by habit, by choice. And we can't help ourselves. That's just what we are. The Apostle Paul in chapter 7, he says, that I would not, that's what I do, and what I would, that I do not. So then I admit that it's no longer I that do what I would not, but sin that dwelleth in me. And he wound up, said, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death, this natural body? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now our blackness, our sinfulness, our deep stain of sin that is upon us in our nature is from two sources. One is our self, our evil nature. Since our fall in Adam, the imagination of the hearts of the imagination of the thoughts of the heart of man are only evil continually. Do you know anything about that? I think you do. Are only evil continually. They come forth from an indwelling member in us, which is sin in our members. You have things come to your mind, I'm sure, if you're anything like me and like other people that I've talked to, that you can't hardly stand, that just really tear you apart, that torment you. Thoughts that you are ashamed to own, that you would disown, that you would never have, that come forth from you know not where. Well, it's sin in your members. They come forth from your old man. And they come at times when you have no control over them and you don't have any control over them. And they generally are just hurtful to you. Now, that's experience of the children of God. We would have holy thoughts at all times. We would be holy in ourselves as we are holy in the Lord Jesus Christ. But in ourselves we're not. That's the reason he himself is our holiness. 1 Corinthians 1:30 says, of him, that is, of God the Father, are ye believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. We're not in ourselves. Noah and all his family was in that ark. They couldn't get out. We're in God's ark, the Lord Jesus Christ, and we can't get out. We don't want to get out. Our new man doesn't want to get out, but our old man, if he could, he'd get out. But we can't get out. Not only that, but our old man is crucified with the Lord Jesus Christ. I read an account that in Rome, that if you murdered someone or if you had part in killing someone, that they'd tie their dead and rotting carcass to you and you had to drag them about with all their stink and foul appearance everywhere you went. Well, we're like that. We have an old man that we drag about with us everywhere we go, and he's always offering up that filth, whatever it is, that is sin in our nature. Now, we fell in Adam. We fell into death and ruin. And it's still real. It's real to the child of God in his thoughts, words, and deeds. And it's real to the unregenerate man. Of course, it doesn't bother him. Yeah. You know, it's just his element. Well, that's fine. But to the child of God, it's a torment to him. So the bride says, I am black in myself, in what I am. Look at Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. I got me some tags to put on in the Bible to help me find scripture quickly, and I get so lost in them I don't know what I'm doing, so it takes me forever. Romans chapter 8. And look at verse 9. They that are in the flesh, what we are in ourselves, in our nature, cannot please God. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it's not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. But, verse 9, ye are not in the flesh. Now, we're just not in the flesh. We need to get that in our brain. We're not in the flesh. We're not in this old man. That he is not our life. We are, our life is the Lord Jesus Christ. We are in him, spiritually in him. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the spirit, if so be that the spirit of Christ dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Well, how do you know if the spirit dwells in you? Well, here it is. Do you believe that Jesus is the Christ? Everybody that believes that is in the Lord Jesus Christ. He that believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. 1 John 5:1. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. John 6:47 and John 5:24 says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on me, on him that sent me, hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. 1 Corinthians 12:3, no man can say that Jesus is Lord from his heart. No man can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Ghost. They shall be all taught of God. What does he teach? That Jesus Christ is Lord. If you know that, you've been visited and taught of the Holy Ghost, and he dwells in you. So if any man have not that spirit, if you don't believe that Jesus is the Christ, then you're not Christ. Not yet, anyway. But don't be tripped up on that either, because Christ became his before he creation of this world. They were his. They were never a time when they weren't his. They were always his.
Yeah.
And they were made his by an everlasting or an eternal covenant.
Amen.
Yet they suffer trouble in this world, and they're in a warfare, and don't doubt that. And do not doubt. Do not think that your enemies are not alive and lively and powerful, and that they persecute you every day of this world. And they'd rob you of every bit of peace that you have. And what they do is they stand off at a distance and they shoot fiery darts into your mind and heart that destroy your peace if you will allow them. Well, how do you not allow them? Well, you identify the source. You say, well, that's either from Satan or one of his demons. And don't think that there's no demon activity in this world at present. This world is full of demons, and they're all very active, and they have one thing in mind, and that's to destroy everything that the Spirit of God has done. But they can't do it.
No.
So those thoughts either come from the world of darkness, or they come from your old sinful nature, the old man that was crucified with Christ at Calvary. So once you've identified them, what do you do? You say, well, that old man is dead. He's a dead man. And a dead man can just huff and puff, but he can't really do anything to you. In all these graveyards around here, you can go out there and stand in the middle of them all day long if you want to, and you will suffer no physical damage. Those people can't hurt you. And this, the dead man that's in you, he can destroy your peace, but he can't really hurt you. And the reason is because you are in the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 John 5, this is a verse of scripture that we ought to never, never, never forget. And we read it often. It's always worth reading. 1 John chapter 5, verse 20. And we know that the Son of God is come, and we call him Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
He came to earth with a job to do, and that was to redeem the people of God, to purchase them and deliver them from the curse of the law. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. He got the job done. And we know that the Son of God has come and hath given us an understanding by the teaching of the Holy Spirit. By his blood he purchased, or he brought to us, the work of the Holy Spirit in us. And the Holy Spirit teaches us that Jesus is the Christ, and that we are sinners, and that he came to save sinners. And we know that the Son of God has given us an understanding that we may know him that is true. Only as we look in the face of Jesus Christ and see God in the Trinity of his persons can we know God. But we do know God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit when we look in the face of the Lord Jesus Christ. Philip, have I been so long with you and yet you've not known me? He that's seen me has seen the Father. that we may know him that is true. And look at this. And we are in him that is true. We are in the Lord Jesus Christ, God's true ark. This is the true God and eternal life. So, as the bride is attacked by sin from within and from the enemies of her soul from without, she says, in my experience, as I live in this world and the things that I endure, I find that I am black in myself. But that's not all the verse. He says, but comely. She's beautiful in the eyes of God, and nobody else matters. Doesn't matter what her neighbors think. Doesn't matter what the church thinks. It doesn't really matter what we think. It's what God thinks. In God's eyes, we're perfectly holy. Christ Jesus alone is our holiness. We're holy in His holiness. Mm-hmm. By one offering, He hath perfected forever them that are sanctified, them that are set apart in Him from the foundation of the world.
Amen.
We're perfect in holiness in God's sight. The Lord told Noah, He said, you have I seen righteous.
Yeah.
Well, Noah, quick as he got out of the ark, he made him a garden, grew some grapes, made him some wine, got drunk. But God said, you have I seen righteous. Not in himself, but in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And the reason is because God chose him to eternal life before the foundation of the world.
Yeah.
And he wrote his name in the Lamb's Book of Life with a pen that cannot be erased.
Yeah.
I am black but comely. In the eyes of God, there is no beauty like the beauty of the spouse of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thou art fair, my love, my dove. Thou hast dove's eyes. Thou art fair, my love. And it's by the comeliness that the Lord Jesus Christ put upon us. It is by His comeliness, His righteousness, His holiness, His work that is put upon us. Isaiah 61:10, it's always worth reading that. Look at that. Isaiah 61:10. I think I'm going to have to take these tags back off here. Isaiah 61:10. This is speaking for the bride. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God. He's my God. I have relationship with Him through the Lord Jesus Christ. For He hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorneth herself with jewels. We are dressed, well, we are made the righteousness of God in the Lord Jesus Christ. When God looks upon us, we're not in ourselves.
Yeah.
He doesn't see us in ourselves. He sees us in the Lord Jesus Christ. And all of these experiences of these fiery darts and these things that trouble us fall away. They don't pertain to us. The Lord Jesus Christ has already been charged with every sin of thought, word, or deed that is pertains to us, that we have committed. They've all been judged in His flesh and punished in Him, and they cannot hurt us. The Scripture says, "Come, let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as wool. Though they be red like crimson, they'll be white as snow." The sins themselves. He is purged. He himself purged our sins. He didn't purge us from our sins. We're still sinners. But He purged our sins. He took all the guilt of our sins upon Himself and bore them, carried them up on the cross, and put them to death there. They were punished in His flesh at Calvary. And so our sins are white. We're sinners, but they don't count. God just doesn't count them against us because they've already been punished in the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm black, but I'm comely. The Lord sees a beauty in me that I can't see. Colossians 3. Well, it says this. "For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God."
Amen.
Amen. All of my sinfulness, everything that I, whatever I am, is hid with Christ in God. "I am black but comely, O ye daughters of Jerusalem." "Reckon ye yourselves indeed to be dead unto sin, but alive unto God through our Lord Jesus Christ. O ye daughters of Jerusalem." Believers, hear these words. Trust in them. Let them be your hiding place from all the fiery darts of the enemies. Take with you the shield of faith and hold up that faith and let those fiery darts be spent in them. And all of their power, all of their destructive power, all of their tormenting power will be taken away when they sink into that shield of faith. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe what He is to you. He is a complete Savior. We're not participant in helping to save ourselves. He is our Savior. We have nothing to do with it. He is a complete Savior. "I am black but comely, O ye daughters of Jerusalem." Now it's the daughters of Jerusalem to whom this pertains. It doesn't pertain to this world. We are in this world, but we're not of this world, and these things do not pertain to the world. They pertain to the people of God, the daughters of Jerusalem. "As the tents of Kedar." Black as the tents of Kedar. Kedar was the second of four sons of Hagar's son, Abraham's son, Ishmael. He was the second son of Ishmael. And they were evidently archers. and they were a nomadic people, and they lived in tents that were made of the hair of black goats. So their tents were black, and they were known as the sons of darkness because of the blackness of their tents. And as she says, I am as black in my view of myself as the tents of Kedar. But I am comely as the curtains of Solomon. Solomon was 13 years building his house. I think he was 7 years building the temple, 13 years building his own house. That may not be right, but at any rate, he was 13 years building his own house. And if you want to turn to First Kings chapter 7, the first several verses, it'll give you some detail on the building of the house. But it was a magnificent thing. And no doubt the curtains in that house were beautiful to behold. Because of Solomon's riches, he could have them weaved of anything in any colors that he wanted to. And no doubt they were beautiful and ornamental on the inside of the house. And such is the church in the eyes of God, for her beauty and for her glory in the Lord Jesus Christ. He that glorieth, let him glory in the cross. We're in a warfare. We wrestle not against principalities, but we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, all the forces of hell, forces of evil are all around us. Satan is called the prince of the power of the air, and we are surrounded by evil and evil forces. And we are assaulted daily by those things from within and from without. And don't be surprised when it happens to you. And I know I'm talking to people who have experienced it. It's part of the life of a believer. To be assaulted, Satan hates you. He hates the human race because the Lord Jesus Christ exalted our nature to the right hand of God. He took our nature in union with himself, and in that nature he sat down at the right hand of God. It wasn't angelic nature that's seated at the right hand of God, as Satan probably thought it should be. He took the seed of Abraham. He took not the nature of angels, but he took on the seed of Abraham. And Satan hates mankind for that, but he has a particular hatred for the children of God. Because we're the heirs of God. We're joint heirs with the Lord Jesus Christ. So when you're assaulted, when things pop up in your mind that you wouldn't dream of, that hurt you, that break your heart, that cause you to fear that God be ready to spew you out of his mouth, which that's not true, but still that occurs to us, just realize where it comes from. Either comes from that old dead man that we drag around until we go into the grave and we can finally leave him there, or it's from Satan or some of his demons that accost us daily. It's a warfare. As long as you're not in the war, those kind of things don't bother you. But when you get into warfare, look out. All right.